720 WGN, a pleasant Friday evening to you. It's 912. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
Filling in on the back end of the Justin Kaufman mullet. This is the party 2 hours.
Can we be... Is there anything else that we could be?
I'm trying to think of anything else that is a party up front.
Do we have to be a mullet?
Or no, yeah. Well, I mean, that's business in the front. I mean, Amy can have a party, too. She's great at partying.
What about the 80s bangs?
80s bangs?
And then the curly, fluffed hair in the back.
So we're the curly, fluffed hair in the back of an 80s bang.
Yeah.
That's what we are today.
She's the front half.
She
goes over the forehead. Uh-huh. But then there was always that, like, rainbow whoosh fan-looking thing that
I think I like the mullet more.
Okay, yeah, I think the mullet's just way easier to explain. 312-981-7200, we invite you to join in the conversation. Certainly, politics is something to talk about, but it won't be talked about in the next 2 hours. We're going to steer clear. We welcome you no matter which party you are, what your beliefs are, no matter how crazy your beliefs are. We don't care. We're going to be talking about fun stuff. David's obviously going to be keeping track of the weather and stuff. I pulled up the radar, and this is everywhere. I mean, from the northwestern parts of the state and the Quad Cities now stretching through into much of northwest Indiana and everywhere in between. Few breaks here or there, but if you're not getting rained on now, if you're in the Chicago area, you will be soon. The rain stretching all the way up towards north of Milwaukee. So this is going to be the story. Some strong thunderstorms in the mix as well. So we'll keep you abreast of everything, and we'll keep you company. 312-917-200. Esmeralda, I think the first thing that I wanted to tackle... Oh, it's just how was your week?
Oh, good.
That was a good week.
Yeah.
You and Nick had a good week of shows, as always.
We did. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Talking about stupid things.
That's always the plan.
Making funny noises.
Right.
And out of context and all that.
So I'm going
to...
We
didn't make it this time.
Yes.
You did not make it.
Well, yeah. Oh, because we were just on the one time. Yeah, that's right.
But no, unfortunately.
I'll try my best this time around.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going on vacation tomorrow.
That's exciting.
I cannot wait. It's been a very long week. They're all long weeks and stuff. But I'm going to Waupaca, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The whole family going up. And they got
Where is that exactly?
It's kind of like the middle of Wisconsin.
The middle of the
Right in the middle of the thing.
Very nice.
There's a chain of lakes. I've never been up there. But to a lot of like road trips to Wisconsin is like what my family did when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We go up to Hayward, Minocqua, other towns like that, and that's where we'd go.
Those were our roads.
I don't think we ever went to Sheboygan, but we drove through Sheboygan, Eau Claire,
Fond du Lac.
And I, you know, that's just something I grew up with. That road trips to Wisconsin were a thing. I know they're a thing for a lot of families in the Chicagoland area.
Absolutely.
But then, Esmeralda, I asked if you ever went on a road trip, and your answer is crazy.
We did like a big one. I was a child, because it's easier, honestly. They took a really big road trip in our conversion van.
when you said that you went on a road trip, I was like, oh, okay, because at first you said you guys went to...
Yeah. Oh, we went to Niagara Falls.
So I was like, okay, you drove back and forth from the Chicagoland area, from Joliet to Niagara Falls. But that's not
no,
the case.
No, then we went to California, and my mom has a lot of family there.
So that's insane.
And then we went down to Mexico, to where my mom is from, to Durango. But along the way, we went along the coast. So we went to Acapulco and Mazatlan, and then my mom is kind of the middle above, like by the desert, so there's nothing really there to like see and be of awe. And then...
Yeah, because Mexico wasn't as far south as you went.
Right. And then we went to Guatemala, where my dad is from.
That was not
a road
trip.
And I know for sure because there's pictures of the conversion van in the back, and like I'm a little baby and my brother's there, so we all were there road tripped down to Guatemala.
Does that even qualify as a road trip anymore, or is that just
move? It was like a summer. It was probably a couple months in the summer that we took it.
We've left the home behind. Was that just the period that your parents didn't tell you that you guys were just homeless, that you were between places, and you're just like, we're just going to keep on driving around?
No. I was thinking, I'm like, maybe they did? No, they had a home, because they had one before me, because they had one with my brother.
Okay.
That they moved, because they lived in Chicago, and then they moved to the burbs. But no, that was my brother. So we did have a home.
You're
so lucky. We should have rented it out. I wish that would exist.
You should have Airbnb. Yeah, exactly.
Lovely townhome.
And then after that road trip.
We don't go on road trips anymore. I have never once in my, from what I know, my mind as a kid.
They shot the moon on the first
one. They did. You know what we would do is my mom would go we would go to Mexico or California, and she would take me because she didn't trust.
On a road trip, though, driving?
No, we would take a plane.
Okay.
But then we'd go for like a month at a time to visit. But it was the thing of like she didn't trust me to be able to, well, she didn't trust my dad to fend for me, like cook and clean.
I see.
And some little kinch thing, no, I'll bring you with.
So road trips were such a big part of growing up. I actually like the drive, too. The longer the drive, the better. I think we went to Denver, I know, once. That was a 24-hour drive.
That's really cool. I do enjoy, I like being in the car. My favorite part is the radio.
Uh-huh.
I don't care to play iPods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear, I put on the, what's the thing that moves it?
The tuner?
No.
Oh, the scan.
The scanner.
Yeah.
I just love hitting scan.
Because
they need
to hear what local stations
know.
There are. Yeah. I remember driving through Kentucky once, and we listened to 100.3, The Beaver, which I thought was interesting.
Did you call into The Beaver?
No, I did not. I did not call into The Beaver. 312-91-7200, if you have any road trip memories from summers past with your family, or maybe the most fun place you ever went on a road trip, any adventures of things breaking down. This all got me thinking, because last week I filled in for Dane Neal on the road
with Dane Neal.
We talked about road trips. My dad actually called in, and we talked about some memories.
Oh, nice.
But I'm really looking forward to going to Wisconsin. And it's the whole family. So
you know what, too? I want to know how far anyone's gone. Who can beat me? Who's gone to South America?
That's what I want to know. Who? Yeah, that's great. Longest road trip you've ever been on.
Yeah, maybe north.
Mm-hmm. 720 WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon, filling in for Justin Kaufman. And we're talking about road tripping. My family is going on vacation tomorrow. We're going to Waupaca, Wisconsin. Only 3.5 hours or so.
Yeah, and it's a completely different world.
It's a completely different world, but Esmeralda went on a road trip when she was a baby. She doesn't even remember
it. Yeah, I was a toddler.
That was thousands of miles long.
Yeah.
From New York to California to Mexico to Guatemala and all back again. And
straight to Chicago.
Well, yeah, at that point, you're not going to keep on going.
That would have been great.
So we wanted to open up to maybe your longest road trip that you've ever been in. We're going to start with Bonnie. Bonnie in Lake Villa. You're in Lake Villa now. Where'd you go, Bonnie?
Hi. Well, it was January in Chicago, and it was 25 below with the wind chill, and we had about 10 inches of snow on the ground, and they were calling for more snow. And we had planned on going down to the Keys.
Okay.
To see how far we could go. And this was the most fun one because we got to escape in the middle of winter.
And you drove down to the Keys?
All the way down to the, we drove straight through to Georgia. We didn't stop until we got to Georgia. And, well, we did stop for gas.
I was going to say, you're on fumes there for through most of Kentucky.
Right. That had to be interesting to see the weather change.
It was. We were in our refrigerator. We had a fifth wheel. And the refrigerator in the fifth wheel was completely frozen, so we couldn't put any food in it. So
wait, like a real refrigerator?
Like, what is a fifth? What's a fifth wheel? Is that like a trailer behind you or something?
That's the one that fits into the, has a little spout on the end that fits into the pickup trucks.
Right,
but you had an actual refrigerator?
Oh, yeah, this was, we traveled all over the United States, but this was the most fun. We got to Georgia, we got out of our winter clothes, put on shorts and flip-flops, and celebrated. I don't even remember what we ate, but we were just like jumping up and down and we're so happy.
Out of the snow.
And we went to the second Key. It wasn't Key West. It was the one right after that. But we did go all the way. We did travel all the way to the bottom of the Keys.
And then you can't go any further. Then you get to the end.
Unless your car is a boat.
We stayed in the most expensive KOA campground. It had this big book, all the places in the United States to go to. And we always stayed at national campgrounds.
That's wonderful.
But in the middle of winter, there we were in the hot pool, and then New York got sucked in, and all the people from New York they went to the airport and they couldn't get out. There were everything was canceled for a week.
So you had a lot of company there, Bonnie. Oh, well, Bonnie, we got a couple other callers we got to get to, but we really appreciate the phone call.
That was a fun one to do.
All the way down to the Keys. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Bonnie, let's go to Evan. Evan out of Cary, Illinois. You're in Cary now. Where'd you travel to, Evan?
Hi, nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to chat with you.
So I was a part of a German exchange program, and I went up there to Stuttgart with my exchange partner, and his parents thought it'd be kind of cool to go and visit Asia while we were there.
Visit Asia from Stuttgart, Germany?
Yeah, no, hold on, it gets better. and so the parents couldn't go because they were on a business trip, and my exchange partner and I were only 16, and we can't have a car until you're 18.
Right.
And so me and my exchange partner and I went on a moped from Stuttgart all the way to Mumbai.
How long was that?
What?
Yeah, it was about a 3-day trip because the moped can only go about like 50 miles an hour. It was quite the long trip.
And hey, well, I think you beat me.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
No, I mean, we had to be at a concert in Barcelona like 4 days after we got to Mumbai. So we had to do it all over again and go back, all through Kashmir, back all the way to Barcelona to see a concert.
Yeah, well,
now you're just bragging.
Yeah, that is, Evan, that is incredible. I actually went to Stuttgart when I was 16 as well.
Oh, is that the
exchange
rite of passage?
Thing for band, but we didn't go anywhere. We didn't get on a moped and
go to Mumbai?
Go to Asia. Evan, that's an awesome story, man. That's something you'll carry with you the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Hearing your story just inspired me to come and share my own adventure.
Well, Evan, we appreciate that. That'll inspire some other people out there. Thanks for listening to WGN. Talking about long road trips, John and Esmeralda here. Really quickly, let's get to Matt on the line. Matt out of Chicago, where have you gone on your long road trip?
Well, I was, by the way, hi.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so I was really sick when I was younger, and I used to go up to the Mayo Clinic 4 times a year.
Wow. In Minneapolis?
Every year for 14 years. Rochester, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So what we would do, sometimes we flew, but the majority of the time we drove. I mean, if it's the dead of winter, we're probably going to fly.
Right.
But the majority of the time we drove, and we would stop off in the Dells. We'd spend a full day in the Dells. Went to Robot World. We always stayed at the Polynesian, always, one time. And they had a giant waterfall that you could just sit under for hours. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on the ducks, and then we got up to Rochester, Minnesota. And I don't know if you know this about Rochester, Minnesota, but the hospital's pretty much the entire...
Not the entire town, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had some stuff, but the closest thing I could say that was incredibly entertaining, I think I went to the circus. When I was like 4 in Rochester, but beyond that, the coolest thing they had was an arcade and a Toys R Us.
Yeah, you are like a walking tourist you should do advertisements for Rochester. Hey, Matt, we got to get to news really quickly, but everything okay now health wise?
Oh yeah, no, I'm one of the oldest living people on the planet with this disease that's in remission.
Wow!
So, yay.
Well, that is really wonderful news, and I'm sure that, you know, that's wonderful of your folks to take you to Wisconsin Dells. You probably went through a lot. No, really. I mean, yeah, having to do that and being able to stop at the Dells and enjoy a little bit of life, that's wonderful. Matt, thanks for the phone call today. Yeah. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman here on the back end, the party end of the mullet of the shift. Amy Guth had the first 2 hours. That was the business.
We're the party.
No politics talks here. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation. We were talking about road trips before. Now we're going to shift gears a little bit to the Closed Loop Food Fest. And joining us right now is the organizer of the Closed Food Fest. That's Julie Williams. And also the marketing manager of the plant, which we'll explain what that is, Elizabeth Lyon. Guys, thanks for coming on the show today. Oh, you know what I got to do? Turn on
your
microphones. There we go. One more time.
Hello?
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was a really suave radio move by me there.
Okay. We're professional.
When I first read the name of the festival, I really thought by Closed Loop Food Fest, I thought it was in the loop and that you were, like, closing down streets for it or something. And that's clearly not what this is. You're talking about closing a food waste gap. You guys want to explain what it is and how the festival works and stuff?
Sure. So the festival is put on by Plant Chicago, which is a nonprofit located in the back of the yards at a place called The Plant. And our whole mission is to develop circular economies, which is all about closing loops, which means making sure nothing is wasted.
And you're talking about from production to consumption to throwing it all away.
Exactly. So the things that make a product, what are those things? Where do those things go after we're done with the product? So this whole festival is designed around that idea. Also to be a fun festival, but to think about where the waste goes and to make sure there's no waste.
Okay, so how is that even gonna, how does that work in terms of a festival? Because I've been to a fest and it gets pretty grimy and gross.
Yeah. So a lot of that's going to be accomplished by making sure everything gets composted at the end of the fest. We'll have waste stations that will show where to put what. And on site there's like a huge composting area and we have experts to do that. We'll also have a workshop on vermiculture, which is worm-based composting, and so we'll be able to show you how to compost.
Oh, very cool.
So when we talk about the whole process of how we obviously get our food, obviously when food is made, there are byproducts from the food. If you consume meat, you know, there was obviously some food that went into feeding the animals and that sort of stuff. So how closed is the loop exactly? Are you guys claiming to be that you're able to do no waste, or is it limited waste, or you do the best you can? Is it just a matter of everyone should just try the best they can? I mean, I guess I'm trying to ask how closed is the loop?
Sure. So, yeah, I would say it's more along the lines of everyone just trying the best they can to do that. So we can only control what we eat. We can't control our farmers, what they're feeding their animals. But we can control what we're doing at this festival and what we're all doing at home, things like composting. And Plant Chicago is actually working with businesses to think about their bigger business practices. To do that through things like our farmers market and this food festival.
So it's obviously getting people to come, and there's a $10 suggested donation. By the way, this is next Saturday, July 29th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at The Plant, which is in the back of the Arch neighborhood, right?
Yes.
And so obviously the $10 suggested donation, does that go towards The Plant? Does that help out the operations of The Plant?
It does. So Plant Chicago is the 501c3 nonprofit at The Plant. So The Plant is the building that's our home. We do a lot of free educational programming for CPS schools, for the general public, Back of the Yards residents. We run a farmers market and do closed-loop demonstration projects, so that suggested donation will go to our programming.
But more than that, it's about getting people, I think, involved in the process, people that maybe don't practice composting at home, to see it in full action and on a massive scale. I think it's, if I saw something like a closed-loop festival where you were able to limit the waste almost as completely as possible, I would think to myself, well, if they can do it on this big scale, I can do it at home.
Yeah, I think it's all about rethinking waste, reimagining what waste is, and kind of eliminating that term from a lot of people's vocabulary, thinking of it more as output. What can that product really be turned into?
So what's going to be, who are our vendors? Who's coming in and who's bringing us food and drink? Any street fest needs, not street fest, but any festival needs some sort of food and drink.
Yes.
Yeah, so at our location, The Plant, where Plant Chicago is located, there are actually 16 different food businesses, so a lot of them will be joining. Pleasant House Bakery, which also has a pub in Pilsen, Bridges Savory Pies, they're always whipping up new stuff, so that's going to be really good. There's a wood-fired pizza oven that has their own farm in Michigan, so they're growing all their produce, they're making delicious pizzas. There's going to be vegan comfort food, amazing vegan mac and cheese.
Wine or beer.
So Weiner Beer Company is the brewery at The Plant, Arise Kombucha, and then lots of produce and other food vendors from the farmers market.
I imagine a lot of people not only come with the $10 to get in, but with a lot of questions, too.
Yes, and so we'll be offering our regular scheduled tours at 11:30 and 2 p.m., so people can ask as many questions as they want there, and, you know, the entire Ox board and Plant staff will be there, and it's a very interactive fest.
And The Plant itself doesn't just have those food vendors as businesses. What else is going on in The Plant?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great question. There's a lot going on in this old meatpacking plant. So it was part of the packing town, part of the Union Stockyard. So lots of industrial meat history that we don't need to go into because it's not good radio talk. But so, yeah, it used to be a meatpacking plant, and now there are a bunch of indoor farms, outdoor farms, bakery, a brewery, a coffee roaster. So one example on the tour is that you'll see Plant Chicago's demonstration aquaponic farm.
Yeah.
So
I
that
saw
has,
that. That yeah. was so weird. There's fish.
There's fish. There's
Can you
plants.
Explain that? Because I was like, what?
Yes.
There's fish under the plants.
Yeah, you're like in this basement, and there's a bunch of fish swimming around. There's a bunch of plants. What's going on?
Yeah.
So there's tilapia fish that are swimming around. Their waste actually fertilizes the plants. So the plants use the nitrogen in the fish pee, essentially, to grow. And then in doing that, they clean the water and send it back to the fish. So that's a really good example of one of the closed-loop systems that we have. And you can learn a lot more about that on one of our tours.
Do you guys sell the tilapia, or is that they're just there to feed those plants?
Exactly. They're just there to feed the plants.
Other farms do, though, actually sell their sell some of those things, and there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, if that's the way to do it. I mean, that's and you know,
tilapia is delicious.
And I think that what is happening now is at restaurants, at local grocers, we're starting, I mean, this has started years ago, but a lot more people are really invested into the story of where their food comes from and wanting to know where it comes from. I mean, you guys just must be very encouraged that is certainly a trend that is happening. I'm sure you want more, but, I mean, it's definitely headed in that direction.
Yeah, so I think that's an amazing trend for all of the food producers, especially in Chicago. There's a lot of urban farms and a lot of people doing really cool stuff around indoor farming, urban farming, and just local food production. So I think that's very trendy right now, which is good for all of us. And then taking that to the next level is then thinking about that food waste and what can we do about that and making waste a sexy issue.
Right. Ooh, we're going to make waste sexy. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to work on sexing up waste
sexy
with
waste.
Elizabeth and Julie from The Plant and from the Closed Loop Food Fest, which again is next Saturday, July 29th, 10 to 6. More on the way here on 720 WGN. WGN, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon. Having fun, Esmeralda?
Yes. We are learning all about the plant.
Yeah, you know, the plant is such a cool place. We've done really great stories. Well, the people at DNA Info, where I used to work, that's where I found out about it. They've done story after story about the new businesses, the new things that go on in there. And helping out the plant is the Closed Loop Food Festival, which is next Saturday at the plant, which is, can you give us the address? Do you have that on hand?
Yes, 1400 West 46th Street.
I figured you would have that memorized.
And that's the back of the Yards neighborhood.
Yep,
right?
That's
okay.
Which
and
is not that far away.
No, not at all. No, people, and you know what? Good for the South Side, because a lot of people are always like, no, nothing ever happens on the South Side.
Mm-hmm. 7 minutes from the Loop area.
Gosh.
Really?
I've done
crazy
it.
Quick.
If there's no traffic.
Well, yes.
Right.
Come on. It's a Saturday.
That's everything here in the city. Okay, I'm joined by the plant marketing manager, Elizabeth Lyon, and Julie Williams, the organizer of the Closed Food Fest. We talked about some of the food and the drink that's going to be there, Julie, but also music. You guys have a lot of cool acts coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so excited for the support we're getting from amazing local Chicago musicians. Matthew Scholar, a venerated Chicago blues harmonicist. He always brings a very special guest, so we're really excited to see who's coming this year. Celine Dion, a fierce female power pop duo.
For a second, that sounded like Celine Dion. And I was like, Celine Dion is coming to the plant. Oh, that's a good booking.
We also have Mikel DeVille, a brilliant poet-rapper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Oh, cool.
Stubale, a Latin fusion band, blending funk, hip-hop, R&B, house, psychedelic jazz, and disco.
Wow.
And finally, last but not least, absolutely, DJ Ayana Contreras, hostess of Reclaimed Soul on Vocalo Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Ayana plays all vinyl, and her mission, similar to Plant Chicago, is to use old materials to push us towards a better tomorrow.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
And activities for the kids, too.
Yeah.
Which, what a wonderful thing to bring kids to something like this. I mean, when we were kids, I remember Reduce, Reuse, Recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think I told you the story about me throwing a brick in my toilet because I thought that would conserve water. And I threw it in the bowl, but not in the back of it accidentally. I didn't really know what I was doing. But what a wonderful thing to start teaching kids at a very young age the idea of a closed loop. And so you'll have a lot of activities for them as well.
Yep, yeah. One of our favorites to do with kids and with adults, just because people freak out about worms, is the vermicomposting workshop.
Yeah.
So that's a really good example of turning food waste into something that can be used to grow more food or other houseplants. So teaching kids about worms and their anatomy and how they eat food and basically poop it out and how we can use their poop to grow stuff.
I mean, might as well say it like that because that's exactly what it is.
It is what it is.
So composting brings up, that's kind of where I want to transition next, because every time I go visit my friends out in San Francisco, I'm blown away, even 10 years ago when I started going, at how much further along they are than the rest of the country is in composting. It's just a natural thing there. Everyone has compost bins. You got to compost, and it's just something we're used to. I mean, San Francisco's smaller, and it's, you know, it's got that Western vibe already going for it. But is that the next biggest thing that we need to do as Chicagoans better to help close the food loop? Is that like something that is attainable and easy to do, or are there other things that we should be doing, or is the answer even, I mean, just greatly more complicated than that?
Well, so yes to all of those. The answer is it's very complicated, but composting is a really simple thing that people can do at home. Mm-hmm. There are also a few private compost services right now in Chicago, like Healthy Soil Compost, the Urban Canopy, which both used to be at the plant. And so people can get their food scraps picked up right now, but municipal composting would be something amazing for Chicago to have. So things like that, Plant Chicago, the nonprofit, would like to push for if the opportunity comes up here in Chicago.
We can't even get the plastic bags in the recycling yet.
Oh,
so, I mean,
boy.
We can't even figure out the bag thing at the grocery store. So I don't have faith that Chicago is right around the corner. But I think, the more people that take on that individual role and it becomes a normal part of their life, eventually those people become elected officials and those people have voices. And, man, it is really an easy thing. It is not that hard to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Baby steps, though. We have to take baby steps.
Yep.
What other things can we do in our everyday lives? Are there certain products that we know we should be buying, not buying, that even if that helps support the cause of a closed food loop?
Yeah, I mean, so composting is a big one, obviously. Just in terms of food, buying food from people who source locally, mm-hmm. and whose supply chain is very short, so they know where they're getting things.
What is that? So the supply chain meaning that it doesn't get handed off too many times? Is that
exactly? So if you're buying something from a giant grocery store, it might be coming from California, mm-hmm. who grows a lot of our produce right now. So it's coming on probably one truck, and then another truck, and then another truck when it gets to Chicago, to the grocery store. And there might be a lot of waste between there. So
that pepper has that much more of a carbon footprint than something that was grown in southern Illinois or something
exactly.
along those lines.
Yeah, exactly.
In the farmers markets, that's a great example, right? They don't come from too far
right,
away.
Right. So we have a farmers market every single Saturday at the plant mm-hmm. from 11 to 3. And that is a good way to support local producers. Mm-hmm. And then also in terms of just home shopping behavior, things like that, just not buying more than you need.
Right.
It's that simple, which can be hard, but...
Well, I think that also comes with sometimes going to the bigger grocers and buying just a ton of stuff because you think you need it. I think that a lot of people, I know...
Because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper, whatever it might be.
But it's not that good of a quality. That's always... I see the trade-off. Something might be more expensive at a farmer's market, but it's going to be better.
Right. And look, I'm lucky. There's a local grocer just down the street from me in the city. I know a lot of people, our listeners, might live in more suburban areas where they don't have that opportunity, and they have difficulties. If you've got kids, you've got to manage that budget of how you're going to buy food, and I totally understand that. But I have found that my food waste has gone completely down, even though I'm cooking for one, because I go out and shop for the meal that I'm about to cook, and then I cook it, and then I eat it, and I put the leftovers, right mm-hmm. there. I don't go and buy, a bulk of stuff for an entire month. And then, because that's where I feel like a lot of food gets wasted.
Definitely, yeah. So there's steps that we can all take in our own lives, whatever your situation, to make sure we do that.
So in the next hour, we're going to talk about confessions.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to have to stick around for this, but I have one, and it kind of relates to you. Esmeralda pointed this out, and this is going to – my confession I don't think will gross you out in any way. 312-917-200, start getting those confessions that you want to share on the air ready for us. So I was driving in today, and I was on the Eisenhower in traffic, and I was blown away when the person in front of me rolled down the window and threw out a gigantic McDonald's bag onto the street, onto the Eisenhower, just onto the shoulder, and then two gigantic sodas, like half full, just cha-chung, cha-chung. And I'm like, how can anyone in their right mind think that that is acceptable behavior?
Mm-hmm.
That is like not human behavior. Like, just keep the McDonald's in your car for two more minutes and put it in a garbage can wherever you get where you're going. Or recycling, or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot more to be said about also having a bunch of McDonald's and all that stuff. That's not mm-hmm. what we're talking about. We're talking about just the littering. But then I did think, and I was like, would I ever do that? I can't imagine I would. And then I realized I do something, and I wanted to, and I think I'm in the right place. So I have a banana every day on my way to work while I listen to Esmeralda and Nick DiGilio. Or I'll have an apple. And I don't know why I do this. I think it's kind of fun. I think I feel like it's composting. I will roll down the window on the on-ramp. There's this giant field of vegetation on the on-ramp from Augusta to the Kennedy. I can't even believe I'm admitting this to you. And I will try and launch, see how far I can get my banana peel or my apple core into the vegetation, because I feel like I'm feeding a squirrel or something. Mm-hmm. Is that completely inappropriate?
You know, that's a tough question.
Is that really bad?
A raccoon, maybe, or a squirrel could eat it, so it could be good.
And it would break down.
It breaks down, right? Those things biodegrade.
Yeah, so things that are not in a landfill, which is where we send a lot of our food waste, almost 40% in America goes to the landfill. A food is wasted, so when it goes to a landfill, it doesn't break down like that. It breaks down and creates a lot of harmful gases. But if you're throwing it in, you know, the wilderness of the Chicago freeway, it is probably going to break down. So
it may be an apple tree will grow there.
It's actually better than me throwing it in the garbage, is what you're saying.
You know, don't tell any of the highway people I said that, but potentially.
Ooh, that's
so
true.
My confession turns out I'm a hero, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you're like a Chicago area Johnny Appleseed.
And it's partly because I like to put it in the vegetation because I hope something will eat it or biodegrade. But I also like to see how far I can launch it into the vegetation because it's all along. These are my simple things I do at 4 in the morning.
This is better than a medium Coke from McDonald's.
Yes. It's way better than a bag of McDonald's, right? So my confession wasn't too dirty. Okay, Closed Loop Food Fest. Remind everyone when it is and where it is again.
Next Saturday, July 29th at The Plant, 1400 West 46th Street from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And The Plant, one quick sell again. What do you guys do at The Plant?
So Plant Chicago, the nonprofit at The Plant. Our mission is to develop circular economies. So we do tours, education, a farmer's market, and we are co-located with 16 different businesses that you can come and enjoy all of their delicious food and drinks.
Yeah, wonderful. And take that tour.
And take the tour. Elizabeth, Julie, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, more confessions and more coming up on 720 WDN. Well, a pleasant Friday evening to you out there. Chicago, 720 WGN, Chicago and beyond, I should say. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon on this rainy Friday. This music's getting me in the mood, Sarah. This is nice. So we're going to try this. I don't know if it's going to work. I was inspired by seeing the complete litter bugs in front of me on the Ike coming into work.
Right.
Just a complete lack of the social compact of throwing a giant bag of McDonald's and then the two drinks literally on the side of the road. That is absurd, right? I'm not just being a crazy person.
Crazy.
That is not cool.
That is insane.
That is not allowed. I don't know how anyone thinks that is okay. It did get me thinking that I sort of litter every now and then.
Which I think it's fine.
By every now and then, I mean every morning, by throwing my banana peel into the plantation off.
I think
the plantation, into the plant life.
The little grassy knoll. I think it's fine as long as you're throwing it somewhere, like not someone's yard.
Right. Right.
But it's somewhere, where the wild is.
The wild will
get it. Squirrels, raccoons.
Right. It's still garbage.
Roger, I know. Oh, that's right, because Roger, we told.
Right.
But you heard what they said, that if I put it in a garbage can, it's going to end up at a landfill, and that creates a lot of
it's going to get covered, and they're never going to biodegrade.
But a banana peel will eventually compost.
It'll go a lot quicker.
Right.
Yeah, but it looks bad on the parkway. That's what I'm saying.
No.
Oh, please. Who is looking at that parkway?
I am. Roger, I'm talking about
I saw his banana peel the other day, actually.
It had his name on it?
Waved at me.
I'm talking, Roger, about in, like, where there's the tall wheat, the tall plantation. Why do I keep on saying plantation?
I don't know.
That makes no sense. The tall weeds.
Are you in Georgia?
Yeah. God, this is all in Atlanta. No. The tall vegetation, the overgrown vegetation.
Well, like, if it's the overgrown weeds and stuff, somebody then has to go there and start walking through it to clean the weeds up, and they're stepping in your banana peels.
Why are they cleaning the weeds up?
Because they do that along the parkway.
Most of those things are prairie.
Yeah, I'm talking about the prairie.
He's talking about the highway.
Are you talking about the part that's weeded over because on purpose?
Nope. No, I'm talking about the things that they leave in their natural state, the prairie-like stuff.
But then that ruins the prairie.
Oh,
what about
please.
The birds walking through?
The birds,
yeah, the birds take
and the prairie
that.
Dogs.
Some bird is making a banana peel nest somewhere. And
yeah, are you kidding me? Those birds are happy.
So you're saying you're feeding the birds?
I'm feeding the birds or building their homes.
All right, now that's all right.
Or the raccoons, whatever. I mean, they're animals too.
He is growing. I'm telling you, there is going to be some apple trees in these prairies. Yeah.
John Hambone Appleseed.
Yeah.
312-917-2200. We're calling this confession.
Oh, is it confession? Okay.
What were you going to say? Oh, secrets. Secrets works too.
Secret confession.
Secret confession.
Use the echo. Sounds better.
How do I do that?
There's a button up there for the echo.
Oh, I hear Nick do it all the time.
Yeah.
Secret confession. So we don't want you to confess something that's really too serious because then.
Yeah, don't bring us down.
Because Sarah's then going to report you to the police and it's going to be a whole thing. Yeah, like don't be like, hey, I killed this guy once. Don't do that.
Do
we don't want to hear that.
Calls the police. Why do I get
that? Because we're on air. We still have to entertain.
We've got to talk this guy down off a ledge.
Oh,
you
yeah,
have
right.
to call the authorities.
So out of the four of us, I just get nominated as the one.
Well, we have to keep talking to him on the phone so he doesn't leave, and then you call, and then they can pinpoint where the phone call is. I've watched enough Law and Order to know what happens.
Wow. I see how this works out, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
You will be the hero.
Yeah, you're going
to
be the hero.
And I have to check the traffic to make sure he doesn't drive away somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We
got to check the police trace.
We all have
how
our
I feel
jobs.
About this little join movement we have going, but whatever.
312-917-2200. So mine is that I litter biodegradable stuff into the prairie. Mm-hmm. Esmeralda, do you have any social taboos that you will admit to breaking?
I do a lot of things. You said that they were okay, but there's a lot of people that aren't cool with it.
Okay.
Which is, you know, like I won't shower for a couple days. I usually don't leave my house, though.
How long is... Oh, because Sarah's face looked
See?
Like that was... Oh.
See? But I usually won't leave my house.
So how long...
I may
how
leave
is,
to, like, go get something, but then I come back. I don't go, like, you know...
How long?
Out into the mass public. How long? Maybe, like, 3 days. A weekend.
Oh, a weekend.
No.
See?
But she's at home. She's not going anywhere.
Yeah, like, I won't come to work. No. I mean, I might, like, if it's a day because I ran out of time.
Right. No.
No.
But, again, I'm not running marathons or anything.
No.
And I wear clothes, like, more than once.
Really?
Like,
how
often? Like, this... Well, this one's clean.
Yeah.
These are...
This one's clean.
Well,
are you wearing deodorant today?
No. I forgot to put on deodorant.
Oops.
What?
But these are things, like, I just forget, and I'm like, I'm not running anywhere. I'm not... I
don't you're only going out for a couple hours, and then you're running right back, and you're not... You don't think anyone's going to pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no,
but I'm also,
definitely
like, right
pay
now...
attention to
I'm also, it's also a thing of like, I'm just coming into here to sit in, a, in front of a microphone.
Next
and I'm
to John
leave.
Hansen. Right. Who's got a.
He wore his deodorant. I showered twice today.
I showered today.
312-917-2200. This is a judgment free zone. Well, I don't want to say judgment free. There'll be some judgment. We're going to push back a little bit.
I think we just did a lot of judgment on the last two.
I'm a big food. Like, I'll smell if it's okay, I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a little mold, I'll probably just push it away.
Yeah, we've talked about the mold
thing.
Roger, do you have any social that people might... Honestly, I think everyone's got one. I think everyone's got the thing that you do that you know you're not supposed to do. Casera, do you have one?
Come back to me.
All right.
Let me think about that.
Roger, can you think of anything that you do that you're not...
Yeah, go to Roger first.
I do some social faux pas when I'm meeting people.
Okay.
Because... And it's something I've done all my life. It's like my mind is overly active, and I may forget to, like, shake someone's hand, or I may look at someone like I'm trying to read their brain.
That's weird.
Or I forget to say hi to somebody, like a couple.
Okay.
And you say hi to one, but you forget to say hi to the other until, like...
That's on the person, too, to not... They didn't introduce you.
Well, but it's a little awkward, because then you come back and go, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, hi, how you doing? Or... I'm horrible with names.
Okay.
And I feel very self-conscious when I know I should know the person's name, especially when someone just said, hi, this is my wife, Mary, like 5 seconds before. And because my brain is somewhere else, mm-hmm. I totally missed that that's what happened.
Okay. That's overrated.
That's overrated.
You just go,
yeah.
Hey, you. Hey, guy.
But I feel bad about it.
Know the better.
So you have some social awkwardness.
Yeah.
That's not so
But
bad.
I've always been that way.
Yeah.
I won't say hi to people.
I'm talking about things that you feel afraid to admit.
I don't.
Like, okay, should I do the one that I told you, Esmeralda? Or is that too inappropriate?
Whoa. This was after I left?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
I need you to back me up. I want you to be honest, Roger. This is for guys.
Sarah's going to freak out.
It's a guy thing?
Because Sarah's going to freak out.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. Like, I understand it's super important to wash your hands.
Right.
After you use the bathroom.
Right.
But sometimes, if it's just number one...
Do we have wet wipes in here?
Not around here. I don't do it in public, but like around the house.
Okay.
I don't wash my hands.
If you're just staying around the house and no one's coming over.
So your house is covered in germs?
And that's
I don't touch anything when that happens.
It's kind of like Esmeralda not showering for a day or two because she's not going out anywhere.
I think I feel like that's okay to admit. I feel like the one I'm admitting to is something that a lot of people out there are the same way, especially guys, and they won't admit to it. But guess what? This is... Secret confessions, and
I
volunteered that.
All right, now I'm backing you up that it's okay for that, the way you described it, if you're just hanging around your own place and you're going to go sit down. But you're at your own place.
Yeah, but you're going to
clean the place. But you're going to clean the place eventually.
Since we're doing secret confessions, it's not only when I...
Oh, well, now...
That is nasty.
I think Esmeralda just moved her seat back a few feet from you.
I think Sarah's never going to work with us again.
I'll come back. I just won't sit down.
Hey, Roger, come on over and visit. No.
But nothing has happened. I haven't touched anything that is dirty.
That you know of.
Look, I know where I've been.
I think it's a bit messy down there. In general,
but for guys, it's very easy unzip and let it.
Well,
escape.
My question was, what do you just stand there, hands free, and just go?
No, not hands free.
Look, Mom, no hands.
Yeah. Lots of practice.
Okay, well, apparently I'm the only one willing to share this one. I bet there's other guys out there that are just like me. In fact, I know it. 312-981-7200. We're talking secret confessions. We'll find the reverb after this. 720 WGN. Good, Casera. That's good. 720 WGN. Great song, too, by the way.
Oh, man. And because it's dirty. It's literally a dirty secret.
So, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon filling in for Justin Kaufman for Secret Confessions. And I just revealed something that I wanted to get the ball rolling on this. And I admitted that when it's number one, sometimes if I'm around the house or, you know, in familiar places, and I don't feel like I get anything on me or touch anything gross, I sometimes don't wash my hands. I'll just walk right out of the bathroom.
Well, the 630 is with you. I do the same thing with not washing hands. If my pants aren't removed, I don't wash.
Let's go to a caller who wishes to remain anonymous, which is always good, with some secret confessions. All right, anonymous caller, am I alone in this?
No, you are not. And I'm speaking in this tone of voice to horribly disguise this. Anyway, so here's the story. I do, if it's number one and I am at home, I don't wash them. And here's the reason why. So, by the way, this is really painful for my voice, so this is worth it. Here's what's up. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I have to make a number one, I don't want to spend time washing my hands.
Right.
I want to just go back to bed.
Right.
Now, mind you, keep this in mind. If I have company over, I'm gonna wash my
hands. Yes. If you're cooking, you're gonna wash your hands.
Yeah, of course. But if I'm just me sitting on the couch with the cat, dog, because nobody should know what I have, then I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
It's just, yeah.
Anonymous caller, I appreciate you backing me up. I bet there's more guys out there that are the exact same way, and I want to hear from you. 312-981.
I like that it's all guys.
That makes a little bit more sense. Hey, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. It's not like I'm Moises Alou, who used to just pee on his hands and then go build up his, calluses.
What? That doesn't do that.
Well, he did it for some reason. I forget. A lot of baseball players, apparently, that's what they do. I'm not doing that.
You, if you do it on your feet.
You're not superstitious, John.
No, exactly.
You, if you do it on your feet, it's supposed to cure athlete's foot.
See? I'm not doing that either.
In the shower.
If I'm at a urinal, let's say, and there's what we call splashback or something like that, of course then I'm going to do it.
I would imagine at the trough.
At the trough at Wrigley?
Yes.
No, at Wrigley, right back to my seat.
Yeah,
don't you hate those things?
No, I love the troughs.
Really?
Oh, my God, it moves people quickly through it. Like, that gets the line. Who cares? We're just peeing. I mean, really, just let's get as many people as we can.
Yeah, but it's beer pee, which is the worst.
Who cares? Do it quickly and get out, get to your seat. I want to see the next pitch. We don't need lines for the stalls or for the urinals.
Just go pee on them.
There should be troughs at every bathroom in the public. I don't really care. Not on the streets, but troughs are fine with me. I don't care about the troughs. And who washes their hands at a baseball game?
You're drinking beer. The beer will wash your hands for you.
Right. People are backing up you too, Esmeralda.
Yeah, they were. And it's a science teacher of all people, so that I find that very comforting. From the 773, says, I'm with you, Esmeralda. I go 3 to 4 days without showering in the summer. I'm a science teacher off for summers. So, yeah.
In the summer? It's hot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he's probably, he or she, is probably in a
She gets her privacy all summer long, let me tell you.
In the summer, you're in air conditioning.
773 says, I had many in-school suspensions when I was young, and on many occasions I saw Mr. I won't say this guy's name just in case he's listening, a teacher.
Mr. D,
who was full of old-school American grit. He would take a whiz, and he would not wash his hands. And one time I just had to ask him, why don't you wash your hands? And he says, son, I don't know about you, but I don't have dirty junk, and I did not pee on my hand. I don't know about you. And he laughed and said, sir, you're absolutely right. I will never forget.
All right.
All right, let's take this to another level.
Wow. All right, David.
John, have you ever gotten so lazy that you just use the kitchen sink?
Oh, to go to the bathroom?
No.
Just for that.
How far is your bathroom?
Yeah. I didn't say it was me. I just said,
how far is your bathroom?
How far is it versus the kitchen?
Not sober that I can remember. I've never gone to the kitchen sink.
And that seems very
I've heard of people doing that. Or if someone's in the bathroom, they can't wait for 2 more seconds.
See, I'm short. I wouldn't, if I was a boy, I couldn't do that.
I know what Costanza would say, George Costanza.
What?
They're all pipes. They all go to the same place. That's why he peed in the shower at the gym. George Costanza, fiction.
Oh, now that's another one.
Do you go to the bathroom in the shower?
I pee in the shower.
Every single time.
Whatever.
Yeah,
why
I
not?
Do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're showering.
In fact, this is embarrassing.
You are sick, people.
This is embarrassing. But
you know, when you get in the shower, the water's really warm.
Yeah.
It actually makes you use the bathroom.
And you're going to soap up, so whatever.
Here's a secret confession. Sometimes if I get up in the morning, I'm all about time economy when I get up at 3:30 every morning. I will often, if I have to use the restroom, number one, of course, I will not go in the toilet. I will turn on the water, but I won't even get in the shower yet because it's cold. So I just open up the sheet and then you don't have to aim.
Wow.
Then that's look mom, no hands. Because you have all the space in the world just to let that go.
Lazy, John. You're really lazy.
I'm sorry, but...
Jeez.
I'm sorry. Mm. It's definitely disgusting. And let someone tell us the same thing.
As we all are, apparently.
Someone texted in 708. This is maybe more of a fetish. I don't know. I love number one outside. Maybe in the forest or something.
You guys...
We're able to do it
anywhere. You can do wherever you'd please.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, you girls can do that. No.
Yeah. 773, update from Anonymous. I, too, pee in the shower. That doesn't bother me. I don't think anyone is anyone really that bothered by that?
There are people.
No, I don't think. I mean,
I've met people who are just disgusted.
A public shower, never. I mean,
no,
even,
you don't
even
do
if you've got great aim down to the drain. Because
great aim down to the drain. That is a tweet right there.
I like that.
708 asks, what about number two?
No.
Every single time. Every single time I wash my hands.
You
you can't fake
that. No.
Yeah, no, every single
time. That is a hard line, no.
We are getting a lot of texts that we cannot read on the air. 312-981-7200, keep them coming.
All right, well, maybe we should move the confessions towards other things. What?
773 says, I was peeing in the sink for the last 15 years.
Oh, man.
What are you doing? Oh, why? Do you have a toilet?
There's no resale value in that house now.
Well, not now that we've published this. We got to take a quick commercial.
I don't think you have to make that a disclosure if you're selling your house or your condo, okay?
Is that on Zillow? Is that like one of the options?
Yeah, it's a little, you check it off and you peed in your sink.
All right, we literally have the quickest break of all time. 720 WGN.
Convention this weekend on Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Wasn't kidding. 312-981-7200. Yeah, let's try and get other secret confessions. Unless people really...
Right, they really love this topic. It's blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking there was an article on Delish.com about why you should always dress up when you go out to eat.
Okay.
And I am very much for that, even though I wear my clothes twice in a week or whatever.
I was gonna say, after saying that you don't wash yourself,
but they look
that you're now gonna get mad at people for not
dressed up. I think it's a thing that has gone by the wayside. In certain places, I'm not talking about like the fast food or whatever, you're just going to go somewhere casual.
But, for a real sit down dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if you go to an Applebee's or a Chili's, like put some pants on and not just some pajama pants or or some ugly shirt. Like, come on, try a little bit. Put on a shirt with buttons.
Yeah. So do people, so that's what I'd love to hear from people, what they think about dressing up for dinner and other occasions.
And with that, I'm also of the mind you don't dress up, but you at least don't look like a hobo when you go to the airport. If you're going to fly plane,
I disagree on that one.
I'm with you on this one. It's like, you know what, as much money as I'm paying to fly, I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be in gym shorts, and I'm going to be whatever comfortable. Yeah, exactly.
Same. I will keep my shoes on, however.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All right, we're going to get to all of that. Ooh, we're getting a little nervous here. Yeah. All right, we're talking secret confessions. And we got a real flow to the conversation right now.
Oh, and so
I admitted that every now and then at home or occasionally other places, if I feel like I've made no mess with a number one, when I use the restroom, yes, I will sometimes not wash my hands. I admitted to that, and I put my name behind it. We've had some anonymous supporters, and really, we've opened up a whole can of worms here. Someone says that they pee in the sink for at least 15 years, and I had to ask. I'm like, why? And they say the sink is closer than the toilet, no splashback. At that point, just go in the air conditioning vent. I mean, it's right next to... I mean, those pipes don't go to the same place.
Oh, down to the poor people.
No, that's not good.
Oh, my.
This one says, 773, living with a woman and two teenagers, I found the affinity for just going outside. The epitome of look, mom, no hands. I have a friend that used to just go off the deck instead of going, because he didn't have a bathroom on the main level.
Right.
So instead of going all the way upstairs, he would just walk out the back door, walk off the deck. And just do it there.
Well, I have to admit that one of our next door neighbors doesn't live next door anymore. One of their little kids used to just stroll right out butt naked and just do his thing right there in the little dirt backyard.
What happens?
And I just would stand there and shake my head. And
little kids
just
love being naked.
Yeah, no.
630, Roger, you'll like this.
I don't think so. Go ahead.
Speaking of neighbors, I keep a beer can in the garage to pee in, then I empty it into the neighbor's yard.
Maybe that was your neighbor.
Oh, my God. What is with you
people? That's some revenge. That's revenge there.
All right. I think that we're going to wrap up that conversation.
Yeah, many secrets and too gross.
Well, what we're trying to get people to do is reveal those secrets that they think that everyone's going to judge them about, but there's a lot of people out there.
It's not a themed, we can move on to other confessions.
And so Cassara told us one during the break, and she did not want to share it on air, but we've told her that, look, I think this will spur the conversation along. So, Cassara, what's your secret Confession. Esmeralda?
Where are you? I was staring at her, waiting for her to do it.
Where's your secret confession?
Why do I get all three of you guys saying it to me, but when you share...
Because we pried it out of you. Yeah. John would have told us either way.
All right, give it to us.
All right, so when I was younger, I would, like, clip my fingernails or, like, bite them, and I would take the nail and, like... put it through, like, my teeth. Because I liked how it felt when it would, like, cut my gums.
You're just looking out for your gums. Not really,
because I would do it, like, all
the time. Did you ever get stuff out, though?
No.
Like, did you ever get a nail?
I just did it for fun. It was, like, for fun. Yeah. I like the pain.
How young? How young? Like, last week, or?
No, it wasn't last week.
Yeah. This is morning.
We're not going to answer that question.
I like how she prefaced it was when I was younger. But
when I was younger.
I think everyone has a thing like that.
They I would bite my fingernails, and sometimes I would bite my toenails
when I was little.
What? You're a little kid, and you're just...
How do you get your foot up to your mouth?
To bite the nail.
Yeah, because you're a little kid.
It's a lot of maneuvering.
When you're a little kid, it's not as far from your toe to your mouth as it is when you're older.
No, I'm just... I don't do that.
Could you even have your foot in your mouth?
I did it as a kid. Yeah, really? You couldn't do that?
Right now, I'm saying.
Oh, now? Goodness, no. Probably not. I'm not flexible at all.
312-981-7200. We were also kind of bridging this conversation with people that go out inappropriately dressed.
Right.
And we were talking
about... I had a thing with the wool cloth.
Yeah, so tell us about this, Esmeralda, because you have one that you absolutely are like, no matter what, you've got to dress up for.
Yes. So I'm going to put this when I get a will or whatever I need to do, tell someone. You come to my funeral, you got to be dressed up nice. And I'm going to have somebody at the door watching.
You can have a bouncer at your funeral?
I have seen people come in jeans, come in just T-shirts.
To your funeral?
Yeah, to my fake funerals that I set up every other year.
Your trap funerals? Just to see if your people are really doing what they should.
I'm up there watching everyone, seeing who's really crying.
Right. I wear jeans and cargo shorts and stuff to the funerals that I've been to. So.
Wait, you do? Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because Sarah, I just threw a little bouncy ball at the wall.
They're dead.
Because Sarah, you wear jeans to a funeral?
Yeah.
You should dress up for them.
That is a secret confession.
I wear jeans or like nice like khaki shorts or khaki
shorts.
Pants or,
there are not any nice khaki shorts.
Oh, yes, there are. I went to a funeral. It was in like Alabama. It was hot. I was not wearing pants. There was no way I was going to wear pants. Like, I mean, I barely even went.
How close? You barely even went?
How close were you?
I wasn't that close.
Well, that's fine.
See, then I can wear jeans. But when my uncle passed away, I wore jeans. Wore jeans and a nice polo.
Well, don't come to my funeral because you will not be let in.
Were there other people wearing jeans?
My grandfather, who was this man's brother, mind you, was wearing jeans and a T-shirt and boots.
This is a cult. I mean, so was this one down south too?
No, this one was. Well, we had one funeral here, and then they drove him back on a pickup truck to Pennsylvania.
I think this is the theme of that family. They drove the uncle on a pickup truck.
In his pickup truck, because he would always drive back and forth to Pennsylvania to where they're from in his pickup. So they gave him one last ride back to Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. This is very sweet.
I didn't ride in the pickup truck with him.
I was in the van.
I was in the van following.
Before we get to the manifest of who was in the pickup truck, how was he in the pickup truck?
He was in his casket.
Okay.
And they threw him on the bed.
Okay.
Yeah, and threw like a tarp over him.
Okay, because I didn't know if he was just in
Yeah, we just threw him in the back seat.
They propped him up so they could go into the special lane drive.
The carpool lane.
There has been a trend, though. I've seen them, they do funerals where they put the body propped up. In doing something. Like, one guy was on a motorcycle because he loved motorcycling.
No, you don't do that.
It was a bit morbid. And there was one where a woman was sitting at a table, and she had, like, her smokes and a drink next to her. And then, yeah, I guess he got to, like, sit next to her.
See, you know what I cannot stand
it was
in funerals, though? When people, like, it's an open casket, they'll take a selfie with
them. Oh, that's no good.
Who does that? No. No, you've selfies never seen at my that? Part.
Oh
no.
My gosh, I see it all over my social media. All
no
the time.
Selfies at my funeral.
What's the bigger faux pas, taking a selfie with the body or wearing jeans to the funeral?
Wow.
I would definitely say this is a photo.
I'm going to go with selfie.
See, I don't take the selfie, but I'll wear jeans.
Because Sarah has standards.
I have class, all right?
She'll wear khaki shorts to your funeral, but she ain't taking no pictures.
Even though I would not, I would love to be propped up in a chair.
The news chair?
Well, no, just, you know, you might have a microphone. Actually, I want a microphone next to me because I want to hook it up so that when people come up, and this is an old comedy routine.
You can hear
I would
them
love to do it.
You?
No, you just all of a sudden people would come up, and when they would come within a sensor or whatever, you say, "Hi, how you doing?"
You're not a Halloween prop.
Yeah, no, I want to be. I want to talk to people. Oh, hi, how you doing? Don't I look good?
Thing.
You
he
look good
like
too.
Be in a chair, and when you walk past, like his hand flies up and waves at you.
Yeah, I want to with a smile on my face and a hand stretched out so I can shake them.
You know
shake
what?
Their hand.
I do have a friend, like and him. He said that when he passes, he's a bartender. And he wants to have a New Orleans-style funeral because where he lives and where the bar is, it's pretty much a stretch on down one street. So he wants that, a New Orleans-style funeral procession, taking him to the bar where then
nice.
They have the wake, but then his hand is the tap for the beers.
Oh,
so then I'm like, come on, buddy. He's like, yeah, no. Do it.
So
I totally want a New Orleans style funeral.
Those are fun.
Those are fun.
They make
the
they celebrate.
The
yeah. Well, you know, he would be like,
so if you want a beer, you got to touch the guy who's dead.
Yeah.
Well, he's your friend. What?
Yeah. You want to see him?
One last.
You
just see the recording there. Here, let me pour you a beer.
One last beer from the bartender.
There we go. I like it. I support this.
Just please, just burn me up and plant me near a tree or something like that.
See, I want to be in a wall.
A wall.
What?
You've seen those in L.A.? They usually it's
oh, like the mausoleum.
Oh, yeah, like
no.
In a wall.
I thought you meant like propped up like between drywall.
Yeah,
and
I want to just
brick.
Be put in, and then they find me. I'm like, ha!
Like your
hey.
Like your insulation or something.
No, I want to be in the. I want to be in a wall because I want the bugs to fight for it.
What?
Because
mm-hmm.
Then, like, when you're in the ground and it's so easy, they just get to you right away and be like, you won't win this fight, bugs.
Wow.
We have another yes. Secret confession, by the way, from the 630. I used to always talk crap about people with car payments when I was younger. So I told all my friends that I just paid in cash for my car, but I actually have monthly payments. My finances, they'll never know. Secret confession.
Wait, that one needs a mwahahahahaha. That just sounds very sinister.
They'll
never know.
They'll never know.
Except now, unless they're listening.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. 720 WGN. WGN, John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Justin Kaufman, the back half of the mullet today. Amy
Isn't
Booth had the business in front. We've had the
party.
Party
in the
back.
We're having quite a party.
Yeah, we're talking about secret confessions. And we've invited everyone to share theirs. I have another one.
Okay.
This is something I never actually told anyone the truth on. I don't know. I think it might have been exposed. So years ago, Home Alone 2 was filming in Lincolnwood.
Okay.
A part of their scenes were shot in Lincolnwood. My dad is the fire chief of Lincolnwood. He brought me on set, and I was telling all my friends, like the entire elementary school, that I was going to the Home Alone 2 set.
Mm-hmm.
I came back, and I lied and said that I had met Macaulay Culkin and that we were friends.
Oh, wow.
And everyone kind of believed me. Like, we're all in second or third grade or whatever it is. And I was like, I'm going to go back to the set today. We're going to hang out. And they said, oh, really? Bring us back some autographs. So I went home. Of course, not going to the set. And forged a bunch of Macaulay Culkin.
What did you sign them on?
Autographs. I signed them on pieces of paper, and I cut up the pieces of paper. And I wrote them to Brian Macaulay Culkin, to Matt Macaulay Culkin.
Did you at least look up a Macaulay Culkin signature?
No, there was no internet back then. Like, there was no way to do it. So I lied to everyone at Hillcrest Elementary School to do it.
Oh,
speaking of films.
Yeah, speaking of films.
Secret Confessions.
630, I pretend to be part of film crews downtown for free food. I wish I could do that. I would get scared.
That is a good one.
I got to tell you, it was
tables.
The middle of winter.
Wait, Roger, you've got one?
Well, yeah.
Roger's got a secret confession.
This is kind of stupid.
Okay.
So our son and I and my wife, we were downtown, middle of winter. It was a really cold day out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking around over by the water tower, and we saw them filming scenes for a movie.
Okay.
The movie eventually left Chicago and filmed the same scenes in California because it was so cold. The stars, I think Ben Affleck was one of the stars, didn't want to stay here. That's how cold it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my son, I said, hey, come on, let's join the movie.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And we joined the people who were walking. It was a walking scene. And we just started walking. So one of the crew comes up and says, are you guys, like, official? Are you one of the extras? And we go, no, we just walked over. And they said, okay, just stay right where you are.
Oh.
They let us stay. And honest to goodness, if you pause the movie, there's a close-up, and my face walks through the frame.
That's hilarious.
Of this opening scene of the movie. The weirdest thing.
Do you get royalties?
Well, no, I wasn't official. I wasn't part of the union at the time.
Oh, that'd be a secret confession that you're secretly been getting paid.
Now you're like a little, you could be trivia now at a movie thing.
Real little trivia.
We have another secret confession from the 630. I only own one pair of jeans. I wear them every day, and I only wash them once a month.
Which is fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
They actually, like, for some jeans, they recommend that.
Mm-hmm. David, we haven't asked you if you have any secret confessions out there, but is there anything that you do that's against the norm? We've already talked about the number one, which we've closed that conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone's got, or some secret that you've held for so long that you've just got to get off your chest.
You got a little something you've done.
Someone's got something.
Oh, mine are too, way too X-rated.
Oh, yours are after the podcast.
Yes, it's for the podcast. Mm-hmm.
I was a bad boy for a while. So.
No, really?
Oh, look at that bad boy, David Jennings.
Mm-mm.
Sounds nice. That has a good ring to it.
Yeah. Right? Does bad boy David Jennings have any?
I'm a bad boy.
Oh.
Actually, why don't we have David? Can you do our secret confessions?
Do a secret confessions.
Secret confessions.
Okay, that's pretty
good. And then there needs to be like
cool.
That cheesy Cinemax music behind it.
Mm-hmm. You will confess your secrets.
To David Jennings.
We know who you are.
I got another one.
Oh, wait. Cassara's got one from David Jennings. Cassara has a...
The floodgates have opened.
Go ahead, David.
Secret confession.
Go ahead.
There we go. I used to, well, I still do this, but like, I'll pick at scabs.
Oh.
Oh, I do that.
That's a common thing. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. 312-981-7200. We just got a few minutes.
Wait a minute. It took her the whole show to, and you're like, that's nothing.
No, that's my psychic confession.
No, the first one was the nails through the gums. The picking the scabs thing, I think, is something.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Okay, secret confession. What's the weirdest place you've ever had sex?
Oh, all right.
Well, we're not in that much safe waters.
Yeah, I don't...
What do you think? We are serious over here? Right. What's going on?
Wow. They're all pipes. They all go to the same
place. I said weirdest place. I didn't say who.
Like location. Location wise. I feel like that's safe.
Yeah.
Are we safe with this one?
Backseat of a car, I'm sure is.
Whatever you guys want to tell.
That's a standard one.
Yeah.
I got one.
That'll be
what? We have a weirdest location.
Right. Oh, my God.
The bar car, one of the old, the bathroom of one of the old club cars on an Amtrak train.
What?
Why?
David Jennings.
Well, that's not the Mile High Club there.
No,
that's not.
No, it's
that's
not.
A train club.
Yeah.
Train club.
Okay. All right, Cassandra, I guess you can share this one.
All right.
It's not going to be too bad, is it?
No.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
No. It's the changing room, like behind the stage play area of my high school.
Oh my God. Yes.
Wait, was there a play happening?
Yeah, there was.
What was the play?
I don't remember. It was a horrible
play. Yes, you don't remember.
Yes, you were thinking about other things at the time.
She's a little busy.
Yeah. For the record, for the record, Esmeralda and John, we did not go down this road. This one's full of secret confession. It's going out, David Jennings.
I really don't believe
it. Yeah, no, I wasn't on that one either.
That's true, David.
Okay, we have another confession from the 224.
Oh, yes.
I pick my nose. I'm 40 years old. He eats it. Yeah, that would be the kicker. If he
left an ellipse at the end of it.
If
so
224 ate it, that would be the kicker, I would think. Because, you know, everyone picks their nose. I see people blatantly do it in their cars, and they're just going to town.
I kind of, like, graze my nose.
Oh, you do the
not graze, that means eating. I do the polite pick.
You do the socially
and straight to the garbage or a tissue if I got it on hand.
Would you tell a friend if you looked at them and they had a little something kind of...
Most good friends, you got to be a friend. Bat in the cave.
Oh, I do, and it's always funny because there was one time I did it, and then it just moved, and it just kept moving. And I'm like, no, okay, now it's over here. Now you just,
You know, I've had that happen on television.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Where
Melissa Foreman, my co-host at the time, I was filling in, and right. We were on air, and she was trying to signal me as much as she could. I went back and watched the tape. It wasn't that obvious.
Oh, good.
But then, like, during the break, she was like, yeah, you have a bat in the cave. I was trying to tell you.
Can
that's
you
like
imagine
the universal
you're flinging
signal.
your face around?
What did she say? You had a what?
Bat in the cave. Is that like a hang?
You never heard that before, David?
No.
You got a boogie.
You got a boogie.
I've never heard that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
And the nose picker says that no eating.
That's a good thing.
But she still yells at her kids for picking their noses.
Wait a minute. It's the mom doing this?
The mom.
Okay.
That's the better confession, I think.
Yeah.
She's a mom and I yell at my kids for it.